Are you a rebel seeking transformation in your recovery journey? Then 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. 366 daily meditations. This book by the SoberPod Recovery Podcast host and professional rebel, Carr, will help guide you towards a new way of thinking and living. Each daily meditation offers a fresh perspective, practical advice, and a healthy dose of Carl's irreverent humor to help you stay sober and embrace the challenges of life without drinking, drugging, or shitting your pants. Whether you're just starting your recovery journey or looking for a daily dose of encouragement and laughs, 366 fucking days sober is the book for you. So, if you're ready to transform your life and become the rebel you were meant to be, get your copy of 366 fucking days sober today. Available today on Amazon.com.
I am Carl, and this is SoberPod.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. Sober Pod, keep it authentic, no facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.
Sober Pod is a podcast dedicated to the idea that one addict or alcoholic helping another is crucial to building a life in recovery. Join us this season as we read from our book, 366 Effing Days Sober. And as always, stay active, stay sober. Not sure if you've been following along, but I am not only an addict and alcoholic, you know, generally addictive personality, but I am also a member of ACA. ACA is Adult Children of Alcoholics, and it's for people who were raised in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional home. So you don't necessarily have to have, you know, alcoholism in your family. ACA is a 12-step program, much like AA, except it exists for those who are raised in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional home. So I was asked to give a talk for ACA. And, you know, I have worked the program. I've worked the steps. I attend meetings on a regular basis. It's part of my program. It's what I do. It's something that I take very personally. It's probably one of the things that really got my head out of my butt and really got me into understanding who I was as a person. So I was asked to give this talk. And one of the things I thought I would do is I would practice the talk, you know, like you do. And so I put together this talk, and I'm recording it here today for you. So if you ever go to an ACA meeting for a long-form talk, and this one's going to be hopefully about 45, 50 minutes, you'll understand a little bit about the context about what you'll hear and see when it comes to ACA. I am Carl, ACA. And this talk is going to be based on two areas of self. In the ACA Big Red Book, in ACA, we talk about the false self and the true self. So I wanted to talk about the process of working the 12 steps in ACA and how it helped me go from living in the false self to discovering my true self. So every good story has structure. And in this case, I'm going to be using the hero's journey. If you guys have ever heard of the hero's journey, you know, just about every talk we hear in 12-step meetings, you know, covers the same hero's journey. So whether it's AA or ACA, we talk, it's a basic format. It is what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. It's very common, right? It's just kind of the 3-point plan, but there's more to it. So the hero's journey has a call to adventure. You know, we meet a mentor. The hero crosses some threshold, is put to a test, overcomes an ordeal, is rewarded, and continues back to where the hero can now live freely and returns to show others, you know, how it was done. And this story is familiar if you pay attention to movies like The Wizard of Oz or Star Wars and Luke Skywalker. So today I'm going to try to tell you a good story. Hopefully, hopefully I could do that. So let's define the characters in our story. The adult child, who's the hero, which is me, is an adult child who is someone who responds to adult situations with self-doubt, self-blame, or a sense of being wrong or inferior, all learned from the stages of childhood. That's from page VII of the Big Red Book in ACA. The false self, so the addicted or codependent self, and then the inner child, the original person, being, or force, which we truly are. Some ACA members call this the true self. So really, the adult child, the false self, and the true self are our characters. So let's talk about our hero. That's adult child. I was the youngest of three kids. Poor. We were food stamps. We had welfare. We were government cheese kids. I think you probably know 1,000 of these people just like me. I was born in Lakewood, California, to a single, immature, verbally abusive, totally codependent mother. I had a heroin addict father who I had never met. Well, I met a few times. I have an older brother who's 4 years older, a sister who's 3 years older. I had a couple stepfathers. Our immediate and extended dysfunctional family rules of don't talk and don't trust, don't feel all applied. Whether it was, with my grandparents, whether it was with uncles, whether it was with my mother, stepfather, father, whatever. We were all very much classic in our dysfunctional behaviors. In the yellow workbook of ACA, and it's a book that you use to work the steps out of the Big Red Book, they ask, what is the family storyline? What is the story that you tell other people about your family? In my case, I would say we are scrappers and survivors and don't take shit from anyone. That was kind of like the theme of our family. And so in the process of ACA, I had to ask myself, what were we survivors of? After I saw the statement, I put it down on paper. Because the only thing that we were surviving, quote unquote, was each other, or really dysfunction. I was used to abandonment, both physical and emotional. I was emotionally abused. I was physically abused by all members of my family at some point. I had my head cracked open. I have burns on my leg from a stepfather. I felt like I was just subjected to, marital terrorism by my parents fighting all the time. And I really relate to the statement in the Big Red Book, the 72 seasons of sorrow, because I just couldn't wait to get out of that family. Some nights, when I was a kid, younger kid, I would lay in bed and just dreading my stepfather's return, my first stepfather, because you can't have just one. You got to have two. I would wait in bed for him to get home. I would just dread it. And it was just like a bomb going off. He would come home drunk from the bar and he would yank me out of bed. And I never understood why it wasn't somebody else. And I never understood why it was me. Still don't to this day. And it was just like a bomb going off every time he came home. It's just chaos and turmoil everywhere. That's, how I got my head cracked and many of fights. That's when the police were called. That's when he would punch through the front window and all those things. So really raised in the atmosphere of the chaos of alcoholism. So nobody was safe in my family, as far as I could tell. Nobody, was safe. And so my personal label that was, given to me or that I adopted or somehow dysfunction moved me into was that I played the scapegoat. I was a class clown or the disruptor, the black sheep, the fuck up, the rebel. And I heard words and statements like, you're too sensitive, or, why can't you be more like your brother, the hero? Or, why can't you be more like your sister, the lost child? We all fell into very textbook roles here. So, and eventually, I used all this ammunition to play the role of a victim. Later on in life, I definitely did. So I had a sense of lack, no matter what it was. I always felt like I was missing something. I had a hole in my soul. I felt loss and sorrow. I had no nurturing. I lacked love and basic care. I was, at one time in fourth grade, I was taken to the nurse because my teacher could no longer stand me coming into school with dirt caked on my forearms and neck, and he wanted me to clean myself or to be cleaned. He was just disgusted by it. I didn't understand at the time what was going on, but I do today. So later on in life, I tried to wrest satisfaction from life. I would, manipulate, attempt to control, try harder, not try at all. I lost myself in, relationships, love, drinking. Yes, I am an alcoholic too. Drugging. Yes, I loved my drugs. I dissociative behaviors. My favorite form of control was chaos and confusion, because I love good mayhem. Because if things aren't going the way that I want them to go, then I can always add chaos and confusion for a sense of control. It's one of those things in me that's part of the rebel in me. That's part of the person who learned how to also blow things up. So I thought I neatly evaded all my dysfunction and alcoholism by all the trappings of modern life. The house, the car, the job, the picket fence, marriage, the family, all the distractions of modern living. I was 42 years old when it pretty much all caught up to me. I got sober, and for the first 2 years of my sobriety, I was just absolutely miserable. And I don't even know how to say that to people, really. You think you're doing okay. You think you're doing all right. But I was just absolutely miserable. I went to a therapist at 2 years because I was still very much just frustrated and angry and just upset. And I just didn't know why. I went into a therapist and I just vomited. And I vomited all these things about my childhood. And he diagnosed me major depressive, which I don't think I am. But I think at that time I definitely was. And then he, at the end of the session, he was like, "So how many days do you have sober?" And I was like, "Dude, I got years. What are you talking about?" But he saw days. I thought I had years, but he saw days. And that's really how that went. So I don't know what happened other than I think I came to another bottom. It's an emotional bottom in sobriety that I didn't understand that I was hitting at the time. I went back and I worked at 12 steps of AA, and I found some relief, but I was still feeling the effects of my complex PTSD, which they talk about in ACA, and the lack of peace in my inner life. My brain, was just operating very differently. So why does our hero need this adventure in terms of ACA? Well, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous talked about being restless, irritable, and discontent. And it's part of our soul sickness. They literally call it a soul sickness. And it is described as a spiritual malady. The 14 traits of ACA clearly align with this spiritual malady. And so I had to I started to look at it in AA and I was like, well, where did this spiritual malady come from? What was, that was my question. Then in ACA, in the Big Red Book, they talk about a soul rupture. And here's where it is from page 60. It says, "This soul rupture is the abandonment by our parents or caregivers. The abandonment sets us up for a life of looking outward for love and safety that never comes." And believe me, nobody's coming. And this is where our hero's call to adventure begins. In the Big Red Book, on page XXVI, says the mind developed the laundry list traits or the false self to survive. The inner child, the true connection to our higher power, went into hiding. So basically when the soul rupture happened, went into hiding. The ACA recovery can reverse this process. So after reading Melody Beattie's book, Codependent No More, because my AA sponsor kept calling me codependent. He called me codependent way too many times. I identified myself using the 14 traits list at the back of that book. Man, I wish it was at the front of the book because I didn't want to read that whole book. But, there was two pages in there that said, to learn more. And one of them was to go to Al-Anon. And I read the 20 questions there. And I did not really identify with being in Al-Anon. But then the next list was the 14 traits of ACA. And when I read it, I was so excited because it literally described me and my behaviors. And it was like really uncanny how close I was with all of them. So I'm going to talk about discovering the false self and the 14 traits in that process. And for me, you know, it took me a while to really identify with each and every single one of them and give, you know, specific examples, but I'm going to give you some generalities. I'm going to go through the list here of the 14 traits so you understand what really identifies the false self, and it's the 14 traits. So here it is. One, we became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. So I hated authority. I could not stand anyone in any position to tell me what to do, teacher, cop, or otherwise. I just couldn't do it. It really sucked to be in school at that point. Two, we became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. I wanted to be liked and loved so much that I would just kill for it. So I would go out of my ways to, you know, do anything to make you like me. Three, we are frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. I hated to be criticized. And if you were angry at the same time, again, reminding me of my parents probably, you know, I either refused your stance or I ran in fear. Four, we either became alcoholics, marry them, or both, or find another compulsive personality, such as a workaholic, to fulfill our sick abandonment needs. So, you know, I loved drugs and alcohol and the escape it allowed. I also found other compulsive behaviors and personalities, you know, in my life to, again, to fulfill my sick abandonment needs. Five, we live life from the viewpoint of victims. We are attracted by that weakness in our love and friendship relationships. I was a victim, and I loved to play that role with anyone who would listen or care for me. I loved to be cared for. I always needed a new mommy, right? And a new mommy, a new daddy. So I was never owning my part in anything with that kind of behavior. Six, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it is easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults, etc. So my overdeveloped sense of responsibility made me take the blame internally and externally for things that were just not of my doing, plain and simple. Seven, we get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. I was never capable of sticking up for myself, as I was always put down and called names by my family of origin, or even, you know, schoolmates or coworkers. We became addicted to excitement. I loved chaos, as I said, trouble and fear, all of it, you know, never knowing when the next bomb would go off. It was thrilling. You know, for me, risk and fear were not only familiar, but exciting. Nine, we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity and rescue. Having control of others in relationships that I could pity was its own desire, and it made me feel better about myself sometimes. It's a great distraction from my true self, always. Always focus on others if you don't want to ever focus on yourself. 10, we have stuffed our feelings from our traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts so much. Denial. I stuffed my feelings about my childhood and always felt that I didn't need to revisit these topics ever again. Again, I was too sensitive. I was very much impacted and affected by, you know, what was going on around me. And I felt things deeper and stronger than other people. Other people seemed to be able to handle it, but I simply couldn't. So I had to stuff that stuff. 11, we judge ourselves harshly and have a very low sense of self-esteem. So I have the lowest sense of self-esteem. Still do to a certain degree, having never heard a positive thing about my own existence, really, as a young child. You know, I naturally assumed that I was a piece of shit, but my ego convinced me that I was the best piece of shit just so that I wouldn't blow my own brains out. It's kind of sad, really, when you think about that. 12, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we received from living with sick people who were never there emotionally for us. So I am a dependent personality, and I will do anything for you not to leave me or even threaten to leave me. You know, it kills me to know that I may have done something that risks your approval. 13, alcoholism is a family disease. We became para-alcoholics, and then they mean say para-alcoholics. They really mean codependents, and took on the characteristics of that disease, even though we did not pick up the drink. So alcoholism runs in my family. Nobody was there emotionally for me. I mean, really, not a single person. And my family members are just prime examples of people who, you know, took on the disease of alcoholism, but never really drank. So I have family that definitely are alcoholic, in my opinion. And then I have some that, you know, they rarely touch a drink, but they exhibit all the behaviors of an alcoholic. So 14, para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors. I'm a reactor, never taking responsibility for my own life and how I think, how I feel, or how I act. It's pretty simple. So that's the 14 traits, and that's pretty much the reason why the hero needs the adventure, right? That's, you know, because I have this false self. This is why the hero must move forward in ACA. When I was just getting started in ACA, it was March 5th, 2020. And I read that in the back of the book of Melody Beattie's thing, and I looked it up online, and I talked to a friend about going to a meeting, and he went and hit up a meeting, and then he was going to take me to his second meeting, my first. And it was 1 week before COVID and all the shutdown. And I sat across from a woman who was crying, and she was discussing forgiving her mother for allowing her grandfather to sexually abuse her. And she was talking about, you know, forgiveness and peace and, you know, and honestly, I thought, wow, if she can find forgiveness for that, I can certainly find forgiveness for the things that, you know, were troubling me about, you know, my raising and my childhood. It was very hopeful for me. So what are the dangers that our hero faces on this journey? What does our hero have to overcome? Well, in ACA, the Big Red Book, it says, in ACA, we seek a full remembrance, or the most complete remembrance we can obtain, of the growing up years. Our memory holds the key to living in the present with a full range of feelings and hope and spirituality. That's from page 304 of the Big Red Book. So the dangers for me personally, in terms of me being the hero, is breaking the don't talk and don't trust and don't feel rules. You know, especially the don't remember rules of my family origin. It always seems that, you know, if I was to bring something up from the past, I was always told that, no, that's not the way that it was. No, that's not the way that it happened. No, that's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the truth is whether it was true or not, it was real for me. And I love that part about ACA, is that it reminds us of that. So I have to feel the feelings in ACA, all the pain and all the hurt. I have to go back and re-feel the 72 seasons of sorrow, which I always feel like should be a really good band name, or at least a song title. But I had to re-feel the 72 seasons of sorrow. I have to go back and uncover and discover. And, you know, I have to, that feeling of starting over when I was sober, I thought I had made a lot of progress. And it turns out that I really needed just to start digging deeper. So though I had so many years sober, I still had a long way to go. Experienced the loss in the grief of my childhood. I had to go back and feel that. I had to finally feel that. And I was going back to that soul ruptured child and saying sorry for all the abandonment that I did to that inner child, or the true self in me. So just seeing the pain that I've caused my own children, because, you know, as you learn in ACA about the things that were done to you, you really, it, you know, holds up to a mirror to what, you know, you have done and what you're currently doing. And I just thought, you know, what if I couldn't do it? What if the pain was too great? You know, what if it was just a big what if, like the unknown of the unknown? That's what our hero faces. And it's a different kind of a fear. It's a different kind of a journey. So what do you get by facing these dangers? What did I get by facing these dangers? The understanding that I did not have to be afraid, that many people have trudged this road, much like, you know, if you go into an ACA room, a lot of people have trudged the road. Much like AA, these ACAs have found a way that works for them, their approach of confronting the false self, or the 14 traits, and embracing the tools of self-parenting to reveal the true self that has worked for others. And it's just like me. So I learned that I didn't just experience shame like other people, that, you know, I learned through the process of working the steps that, and facing these dangers, that I saw myself as shame. Like, I never really understood that. Like, you know, no matter what I did, I represented shame. It's not that I did shameful things, it's that I was shame. And again, there's nobody to blame. There's nobody to blame. So also in the Big Red Book, page 61, it says, with the support of the ACA Fellowship, the true self emerges. So that's the really big takeaway here, is that that's what you get by facing these dangers. And again, the unexamined life is not worth living. And that's from Socrates. And really, I think just in that statement alone, it tells you that by facing these dangers, you will, or examining your life, you will get a life worth living. That's the idea. So lessons learned by our hero. I learned that the laundry list traits represent the false self, which is convinced that it is real. So the false self, you know, in who I was, at, you know, throughout my whole life before this process, you know, it's convinced that it's real. The false self disbelieves recovery and the loving nature of a higher power. This false self once protected us, but now has to be retired. And that's from page 112 in the Big Red Book. And I fully believe that's part of this process, is that I had to retire that version of me that was living in the false self. So I was, I learned that I was not my defects of character or my false self. It was possible to feel and heal, which I always thought that if I had to feel this stuff, that it would just break me somehow. So I had to feel it fully. I had to really go in and feel all of it. Good or bad, I had to do it. I was able to learn new dimensions of myself and begin to discover my true self. So I stopped being a survivor of my trauma, right? So I stopped using that as an excuse. And so it was no longer kind of like a main force that drove me. And I no longer played the victim. I stopped relying on my survival traits or the false self and how I expressed that stuff. And it no longer worked. I took stock of my good traits and learned to integrate, and I still do integrate, my defects of character. And this is a lifelong process that takes time and must be tempered with the attitude of patience, diligence, understanding, love, forgiveness, and sometimes just simple indifference. Sometimes you just got to go, can't do anything about it. So how does our hero get the gold, right? Answered the call. I've taken on the challenges. I've gone through the process of working the steps. So where's the gold at, right? In page XXIX of the Big Red Book, it says, the false self or ego cannot experientially relate to or know God. And the only part of us that can do this is our true self, which we come to know in stage two work. While the false self may at best try to intellectualize a relationship with God, our true self does it from its heart with fewer words needed. People talk about, you know, the longest journey, you know, in recovery is going from your head to your heart. And I believe this exemplifies that. So this is where the gold is at. The true self emerges. You know, you start feeling secure. You're safe to share with others. I personally got a new freedom and a new happiness that I did not know. And that's one of the promises of AA. But ACA helped me to achieve that promise. So I begin to feel and acknowledge the inner child and begin to feel sorrow for the prison that I had stuffed my inner child into. So I no longer felt the need to protect my inner child from the bad people out there or in here. So one of the ways that I can see that relationship happening is through this poem for Charles Bukowski. It's called The Bluebird. And I must have found it, you know, a long time ago, before ACA even, because I remember really relating to this poem. Charles Bukowski's talking to this bluebird in his heart. So, and it's really this relationship between what I see as his alcoholic false self and his inner child true self. So I'm going to read it for you here today. It's pretty powerful. This is Bukowski, Charles Bukowski, The Bluebird. There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too tough for him. I say, stay in there. I'm not going to let anybody see you. There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I pour whiskey on him and I inhale cigarette smoke, and the whores and the bartenders and the grocery clerks never know that he's in there. There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too tough for him. I say, stay down. Do you want to mess me up? You want to screw up the works? You want to blow my book sales in Europe? There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too clever. I only let him out at night sometimes when everybody's asleep. I say, I know that you're there, so don't be sad. When I put him back, he's singing a little in there. I haven't quite let him die, and we sleep together like that with our secret pact. And it's nice enough to make a man weep, but I don't weep. Do you? How has our hero changed on the journey? So for me, the false self still has its impact, but it certainly is something that my inner parent acknowledges and is able to act against when needed. I no longer feel like there's a hole in my soul, and that and I really better understand the need to not live in fear or to people please or to drink or to drug or produce confusion, because that's my favorite go-to even when I'm sober. The reduction of the false self or the ego emerges of the true self. It is in direct proportion to the amount of God or high power that I have in my life. So less God is more false self. So more God is more true self. So they're in direct relationships. The impact that the 14 traits have on my daily life is still there, but not the significant impact that it once did. Much like alcoholism, I feel at times that I've been placed in a position of neutrality. So there are some items on the 14 traits that really no longer seem to affect me as much. Learning to grieve and understand the loss of childhood. Crying when needed. Feeling current feelings and not stuffing or hiding the current pain. I really try to acknowledge and recognize when my past is coming up at me and it is impacting or affecting my current emotional state or my decisions. So, and I was finally able to let the bluebird out of its cage. You know, for a long time, I did not understand that I wasn't living authentically, that I wasn't living, you know, in my true self and saying and doing things that, you know, came from my heart. So the bluebird does not have to sing in here, but he can now sing out here. And I think that's really important. So this is where the real change comes. The real change comes when the inner, is from the Big Red Book, page 302, the inner child has original trust, original belief, and original love. The child within understands feelings and the language of a higher power. The inner child or true self is present during our spiritual experiences and underpins our spiritual awakening. So really what we're doing is we're living as, you know, AA would say, or as ACA even says in their 12 steps, is that, you know, we're living in God's will. That's what we're doing. That's how we know that the real healing has happened, when we start to feel and know that instinctively. So our hero is going to live happily ever after. And how does he do that? It's through the ACA promises. So the ACA promises say, by living and practicing the program, we grow closer to our true self. We begin to experience the ACA promises. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a promise, and then I'm going to read my experience with that promise. So here we go. 1, we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. I am living happily ever after by discovering who I am. Not fully discovered, but discovering. It's an ongoing process. Our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. So I do have self-esteem today from living a principled life that working the 12 steps has afforded me. And by doing esteemable acts, I have improved self-esteem. And it's only through the process of working the 12 steps, both, you know, AA and ACA, that I'm able to do that. ACA really gives me more understanding about how to do that by giving myself approval. 3, fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. I see myself today as having innate and inherent value. Just because I exist means that I have value today. Whereas before, again, I thought I was nothing but shame, piece of shit. So I am a child of God who deserves the same amount of love, justice, and respect as everybody else on this planet, no more or no less. So trying to be right-sized about, you know, how my ego operates in the world. 4, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. And I think if you've been listening to this podcast, you'll know that I have changed significantly over the last 4 to 5 years. And so having been in touch with my inner child and self, I have grown in awareness, closeness, and understanding. My relationships are closer to the bone and just that much sweeter. So I hope to continue this lifelong process. 5, as we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. I gotta admit, I have a real serious problem here. So though I am more tolerant of others, I think that I'm still very intolerant of others. So I think a lot of us, you know, are like that. So I'm a work in progress, let's just say. 6, we will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. So I no longer confuse peace with boredom. Again, remember, I love chaos, right? So, and the need to live in fear and have the chaos or confusion as my main mode of operation or existence, I can sit in peace with my own mind today, and I really treasure this. To be able to sit and breathe and just have peace of mind is just invaluable. 7, we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. So I love being silly, as you guys will all know. Yes, I'm still a class clown in a sense. You know, I still love humor and but I don't need to entertain you as the class clown or even myself, but I look for opportunities to share in laughter and to enjoy the fun and joy of making us both laugh, because there's real love and beauty in when we both find something funny. You know, I'm not making fun of somebody else or making fun of myself at my own expense. 8. We will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. There's this quote from Seneca says, we can't choose our parents, but we can choose whose children we wish to be. One of the things about really discovering or trying to redefine ourselves in recovery is, you know, a lot of us, and especially ACA, have really shitty role models. We just have terrible role models. One of the things that I really enjoy about the process of recovery is, as I redefine myself, I get to look to other people and the qualities that I admire. So I get to be a child of those people, right? Because we can't choose our parents, but we can choose whose children we wish to be. Who do I wish to emulate? Who do I wish to look up to? Could be, you know, somebody with a year recovery who's 30 years old. I don't care. The fact is this, is that today I get to take rest and refuge in the love of a friend or a spouse or a sponsor or even in myself. So, you know, we have the power of choice today. Something really powerful to consider. 9, healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. Stating my needs has been hard, of course, you know, I'm a people pleaser, but it's easier to... And I try to do this without demand, and usually for myself, not against others. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but really I try to stand and state my needs without being too aggressive about it, right? So people call it, setting boundaries. Go figure. 10, fears of failure and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. I have been able to intuitively make much better decisions. I feel I do it anyway, each day. So learning that every decision that I make today is a vote for who I will become tomorrow. Never understood the real building blocks of life that way, that like every decision I make today is really a decision for who I will be tomorrow. So rather than lamenting about the past or worrying about the future, I should really be focused on today and the decisions that I'm making right now, because they really do impact who I will be, you know, tomorrow and 5 and 10 years from now. 11, with help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. I have slowly, I'm going to emphasize slowly, released a lot of my inner turmoil, which again is expressed through these dysfunctional behaviors. So I no longer feel a victim to the 14 traits or the false self that once dominated my existence and who I thought that I was. 12, gradually with our higher power's help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. You know, I have often settled for less in my life on so many levels, as you have heard. You know, over the last 4 to 5 years, I have embraced and enjoyed our way of life in recovery. I have stood up where necessary in areas big and small to assert that I and my inner child should expect the best and get it. So this is the end of the hero's journey. This is it. This is where he brings all the gold and he gives it to you. So this is me in the hero. I'm the hero. And I bring this to you. So in ACA on page 298 of the Big Red Book there, it says, the solution is to become our own loving parent. What does it mean to become our own loving parent? The first step in reparenting ourselves involves recognizing the loving voice inside. Our experience shows that every adult child has love inside, regardless of what the person says or believes. Love is there, and it is original. Like I said, I am inherent. I have value regardless. And so, so this program and its work is an inner hero's journey, right? So it's my inner hero, filled with many unknowns. If you have identified with any of this, you should consider joining a group of fellow travelers and working through the Yellow Workbook and the Big Red Book. Like all other 12-step groups, nothing takes the place of doing the work. You actually have to do the work to get the results that I'm talking about, to go through the hero's journey. The ACA program is also not for people who want it or need it, but for people that do it, much like they say in AA. So if you're new to this idea of, you know, adult children of alcoholics, and maybe you're new to just kind of like emotional sobriety and that kind of recovery, so look up and read the 14 traits. If you've been having a problem in your sobriety and you've been frustrated, you've been angry, you've been pissed off, and you really don't understand why, maybe like me, you had, you know, a lot of tearful drives home from work. You know, look up the 14 traits, which is, again, the false self, and look it up under adultchildren.org and see if you identify with them. Buy the Big Red Book and start reading it if you identify. Go to 6 consecutive ACA meetings for 6 weeks. So 6 consecutive meetings for 6 weeks. Get a sponsor or a group of fellow travelers to hook up with. So these people will help you work the 12 steps of ACA and also go through a lot of the other workbooks. And at the first meeting available, share why you are there and what you hope to achieve by being there. Surprising. You know, my first time I ever shared along these lines and about this kind of information, I bawled, I cried. And it was a COVID meeting, and I continued to cry. I cried for about 6 months when I was doing this work. And I just needed to do that. It was part of the process. So don't be afraid. Show up. People have all done it. Though these other people may not be crying, you may be the only one, but just know that they've all done it too. All right. With that, I'm going to say thank you very much for being here, for listening, for trying to understand a little bit about what, you know, ACA has to offer. I hope that this talk was valuable. I hope that it gave you a little bit more insight on, you know, what ACA is about and how to interpret it for yourself. With that, have a great day.
SoberPod.com. 366 fucking days sober. Yeah. It was a sight to see him. Yeah. Breakfast with Sprite and Seagrams. Oh. Wrestling with my vices, exercising my demons. My blessings were blocked, so I never got the message. I'm stressing, I'm only 12 steps from an exit. Damn. Regret it, because my imperfections were perfected. I ain't run from it, I accept it and rep it. It's a badge to me, good stories come from a tragedy. And when you survive, the glory will come in act three. The wait's over, 366 fucking days sober. Morning affirmations that can start the day for you. Use my favorite book. Mark for a placeholder. Finish when the day's over. Okay. 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 Yeah. Sober pod. Keep it authentic. No facades. If it's real, then you know it's ours. Welcome.